us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and holy Lord, I pray, Lord, that we not come presumptuously this day, not to this place where You are here, not to this time to come before Thy Word, and not at the time to take Thy supper this day. Father, I pray that You would send Thy Spirit. Lord, I pray that it would break the grounds this day of stony hearts. Lord, I pray Thy Word would be effectual and powerful. For Lord, we know Thy kingdom came not in word, but in power. Father, I pray that as I come before the people this morning, that You would take that coal from Thine altar and anoint my lips. That You would keep me from any error. And You keep my eyes upon Thee to sustain, to bring forth Thy truth. Lord, I pray that You would use me as a vessel to glorify Your holy name. Father, I pray for an examining hour, that Thy Spirit would examine Thy people in this room. And Lord, that we would find ourselves, if we be indeed safe in Thee, that You would draw us to Thy precious bleeding side. Lord, I ask for Thy power and Thy strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The song we just sang starts out, "O child, are you weary and troubled?" Chorus tells us to look away and to Jesus. And have to ask why you look away. Why is it, if you indeed look away, or you say that you look away, or you're taken to look away, why do you look away to Jesus? What are you troubled about today? I believe you should be troubled. I believe every child of God today should be troubled. I believe that every child of God should be troubled every day because of the flesh that remains. Satan is the troubler. The world and its allurements is a troubler. But there's a fearful thing. There's a fearful thing. Doctrine's a wonderful thing. But there's a fearful thing that doctrine filling your head will keep you from any experience. You'll live upon doctrine. You'll live upon what you've heard and pronounce it to be so in your life. My text today is a very familiar text. Romans 7:24 says, "O wretched man that I am." Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? "O wretched man that I am," is the words of a sinner. Many debate whether Paul said this prior to his regeneration. I say that he couldn't say it unless he was. Natural man will never come to this place. Natural man doesn't see himself as wretched. Not in the full extent of what I believe is mentioned here. Because the danger is you can come to a verse like this and say, hurry and get through it, so we can get to verse 25. We can see the remedy. But have you been brought to this place? If you were in preparation this week for the Lord's Supper, I pray that if you used the little book that had been passed out or the little book that we had been enjoined to buy, there were many things in it that would search your heart, truly. But why is it this way? When we come to the Lord's Supper, we think it's time to only then to examine ourselves. Because this wretched man that I am, when today is over, tomorrow, tonight, will continue to be wretched. He will need deliverance. There's some very important things in this one verse. There are very important things to instruct us of what we are. My prayer is that the Lord shows you this morning what you are. That the Word of God cuts like a two-edged sword that comes out of the mouth of Christ in the vision and revelation. I pray that as we examine this scripture, we are all brought to see. We have been told many times and exhorted many times, you must have a place where you've come from. But it's a continual place because of sin. The fountain is a place to come and to bathe in the blood of Christ continually. I have read books that have told me that it is a one-time event. And if the Lord has set you free, you shouldn't have any more problems in this life. And you should live on this cloud of Christ. And you should live in this triumphant Christ. The spiritual man does. But there's this warfare. And my experience tells me that I sin. And my experience tells me that I fall short to the glory of God every day. I'm always trembling when I come before the Word of God to speak it to you because of unworthiness. I pray that that unworthiness is in each and every one of us today as we come to this table. For it's the Lord who's worthy. Also, as I said today, the burden laid upon my heart is really found in verse 9. Because verse 9 is some very scary words. When Paul said, "For I was alive without the law once." Spend a great deal of time with a lot of people in this room. My fear is that there are some who are alive without the law once. Paul was a very religious man without the law. He believed everything he did was for God. We come to this ordinance today in the Lord's Supper. We come to this place of worship. There are some who came into this place today and did not come under a cross. It came under a duty. Because you're alive without the law once. You come to this place and you come in every day of your life and you believe a doctrinal notion that the Lord has forgiven you of your sins. And there's no struggle. And there's no fight. Because you've put it away. Because once again, you're alive. You're alive without the Word of God. You're alive without the holiness and the law of God coming to your very soul and killing you. Is that your testimony? Have you died with the Apostle Paul? Because when the law comes, and the law is a terrible thing. And I use that in holiness. I don't use that as awfulness. Because when the Lord brings His law to your soul, He shows you how perfect and holy He is. You can't do anything but cry what Paul cries here if you're awakened. If the Spirit is willing, if the Lord is willing to awaken you. Because many times you'll come and you'll hear words like this and you'll sit there and you'll say, "No, I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ." And you'll be sitting there yearning to hurry and get past this part so you can see what it is that it is to live in Christ. That's me. That's me. I live in Christ. And you have no idea what I'm talking about. Paul was like that. And you say, "Well, no, he persecuted Christians." Oh, but he thought he lived for God. How many of us, and the Lord only knows, persecute our brothers during the week, all in the name of a form of godliness that you believe you have? Paul was there. He was alive without the law once. But see, when the Lord sent His commandment, and the Lord said, "Here, you want to compare your holiness? You want to compare your righteousness? You want to compare yourself? Compare it to this holy, unwavering, just, and perfect law." How do you measure? The Pharisees believed they measured really well. The Pharisees believed that in the self-righteous, in the selves, and the self-importance, and the self-exalting always measures well against the law of God. Because they strive about to keep it. And when they don't keep it in its nth degree, it's okay, because their righteousness will overcome or somehow fulfill it themselves. This is the deceit of Satan. Maybe it bothers you. Maybe your conscience is bothered and you put it to the side to follow after the world. Maybe the world's so strong upon you today that you can't even come away now. Maybe the world is so strong in pulling you today that you're thinking about what you're going to do when you leave this place. Or you're thinking about your job. Or you're thinking about your family. For you're alive without the law once. But when the commandment comes, sin revived, and you die. You die to yourself. You die. You die to everything that you're in bondage to. Because if we be dead that way, that's the only way we're going to be risen with Christ. You must die. He must be slain. When Paul says, "O wretched man that I am," there's a depth to that. There's a depth because Paul has a past. But Paul has a progression of a past that he sees this warring in him. And he sees he sees the evilness of sin that dwells in his body and his members, and he hates it. And he hates the fact that we are that way, because we know that it's something far, far from God. God cannot even look at sin. He couldn't even look at sin. He had to punish. His wrath had to be poured out upon that sin. So I have a question for you this morning. I have a question as we come today to the table. And it's not really my question, it's the Lord's question. Because he asked it through his prophet. Turn with me over to Lamentations 1. Jeremiah speaks prophetically. He speaks in the power of the Lord. And in verse 12, we have a messianic verse. We have the voice of the Lord speaking. Is it nothing to you, all that pass by? When you came to this place or you got up this morning and you realized it was the day that we would take the Lord's Supper and the day that we would come and we would sit to be instructed in the Word, is it nothing to you? Is it something that is just another day? Is it something that you feel no burden of your sin under? Is it something you just discount and push to the side? This is the question of the Lord asking. Is it nothing to you today? Listen to what He says. Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. What is the Lord sorrowing under the cross? What is He sorrowing under on the cross? The weight of your sin, if it put Him there. Has your sin put Him there? I have 4 books on my shelf called The Sinfulness of Sin is the title of them. And I tell you what, you come with a notion in your mind of what sin is. And and that's what it is. It's a notional, no, sin's just is transgressing the law of God. For years I've preached. I've thought, I've even told my wife and my children in my home. I've preached against a feeling religion. Because I've always thought that, well, you know, feeling, when you bring in feeling, that means human emotion. But listen, to know what sin is, to know where Paul is, this Word of God must come to you in a feeling way. Not as a dead carcass. Not as a body there that it means nothing to you. The weight of your sin must be felt today. It must be felt every day. And that's the only time and the only way you will come to the open fountain. But has the Lord convinced you that that fountain is for you? Because see, the progression of the Spirit is, the Lord said, I will send the Holy Spirit, and the first thing that He'll do, He'll convince you of sin. He'll convince you that sin lies at your door. He'll convince you that you're a sinner. And as you start to actually sit and to think and to feel the burden of that sin. I was reading this morning of one John Warburton. And I tell you what, you talk about one that was tormented on the right before the Lord delivered him. I sat there and almost cried. The hair on the back of my neck stood up to hear the things described as he started to look at himself and he started to compare himself to the holy law of God. And he kept hearing that same scripture come out. If you transgress one, you've transgressed one thing in this holy law. Death, death, curse to every man that doesn't keep this whole law. Have you ever been there? Has the Lord ever said that to you, that you're cursed? You're cursed? If you don't keep perfect obedience, that's what the law does. I pray to God she doesn't hold it against me. But I've seen it before. I've seen one like that before. In the midst of her crying out, there were thoughts in my mind that she was crazy. There were thoughts in my mind that what's possessed her? I look back as the Lord has grown me in His truth. And I think what a precious day that was. I know she does. The kingdom of heaven is taken by violence. Jacob wrestled for a blessing. When you're made alive, when you're shown, O wretched man that I am, when you're shown what you are without the blessing, when you're shown what you are in comparison to the law, you can't keep it all. What must I do, Lord? O wretched man that I am, who can save me? Who? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. I hope you see that today. I hope the discernment of the body and the blood of Christ is one that's so powerful that you see a brokenness. You see the Lord broken under the weight of the sins. You think of if the Lord has brought you to this place to show you the sinfulness of sin and just yours, just the ones you commit. Think about the weight of all the sins of His people. So we ask this question, is it nothing to you that pass by? Is it nothing to you to see Christ on the cross, bleeding, broken under sin? It's the Lord who's afflicted him in the day of His fierce anger. Well, what did He do? Did He blaspheme the name of God as we have? No. Oh, did He have unbelief as we do every day? No. Oh, was He angry and sinned and called His brother names? No. But we have. And we do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Amos begins chapter 6 with a question. Well, not a question, a statement. He says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Are you at ease today? Do you come to the house of God today? And are you at ease in your seat? Do you look there and say, well, all that He says is foreign to me. And I don't want to hear any of it. Hurry up and get to verse 25. You're at ease. What does the Lord say to those that are at ease? Oh, come on in. You need no comfort. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is a comforter. He sent the comforter. What do we need to be comforted for? Think about it. David, in the highness of sin and murder and adultery, penned Psalm 51. Tell me the Lord didn't comfort him. Peter, when he denied Christ after violently saying, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never deny you, Lord. Denied him 3 times. And the Lord looked upon him. He didn't even say anything, but He looked upon him. And it cut to Peter's soul. It cut to the very core of Peter because he knew he had sinned against the Lord. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, when he saw Him high and lifted up, what was his thought? Oh, I'm right there with you, Lord. Oh, look, I'm comparing my righteousness to yours and it's the same. He said, no, my righteousness is as filthy rags. He felt the unworthiness to even have a vision of the Lord. And yet here we are today, preserved again in a freedom, preserved again to come to this table. And the fear always is that there are those who will do it ritually, those will do it who are alive without ever being slayed. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? See, he asks that question because he knows he must be delivered. He must be delivered from this wretchedness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But I'm telling you, it's not once and for all. Experience doesn't tell me that. Does it tell you that? Does it tell you that you're delivered from this burden of sin every day of your life? Does it tell you that you don't have this warring going on in you and you just live this happy life? We'll always have this thorn. The spot will always remain until one day. Until one day when we pass from this life to the next. And that chariot comes to take us home. The spot will be left here. That's the washing. That's Christ making His bride ready to present it. Now with that picture in mind, with that understanding, now we know, now we get a glimpse of why the Holy Spirit's so important here. Why is it Jesus said, I'll leave you the Comforter, and He will lead you into all truth. He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance that I have spoken to you. Because the wretched man that I am, the wretched man that must be delivered from this body of death, the wretched man that sees his unworthiness. There's only one way to be lifted out of that. David began Psalm 86 with being poor and needy. He prayed his mindset, his words, and his song. This was a king. A king who had a right representation of who he was before God. And I sometimes shudder when I hear things that give me the idea that we don't rely on the Lord for our strength. And we don't rely on the Lord for our all in all. And sometimes we get off the path and we start to establish our own righteousness. It's not going to be. Because the child of God, when he comes to this place, he comes to this place because he's looked in himself and he doesn't see anything righteous. Is that the case with you? Are you still justifying your actions every day? Do you justify your sin when you hear something, when you read the Word of God and it comes to you, or one of your loved ones, the ones that are spiritual, come to you and they say something to you? Are you quickly to justify yourself in your sin? Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Let's go to Isaiah 41. Verse 17. Isaiah was always good to give us metaphors and things that speak to our spiritual condition. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. That's what we're talking about. O wretched man that I am, when you're brought to that point and you have nowhere to go, you start seeking. But sometimes we go waywardly and we don't seek at the fountain we should be seeking. This one, the poor and needy seek water, and there's none. We grasp at the things of the world to fill our time. We grasp at the things of anything but the Holy Word. I remember in that same account, Warburton kept saying, every time he passed by the church, I'm not going in there. Because if I hear one more thing, that's going to condemn me. But this was on the way that he was going to take his life. Because he felt like there was nothing else he could do. He had come up against the perfectness of the law of God. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. But he wasn't delivered yet. And as he walked by the church for the last time, he went by and he said, no, I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep going by. And the voice came to him. Who can tell? He kept hearing that in his thoughts. Who can tell? So he thought to himself, what do you mean? Who can tell? Lord, you can't save a wretch like me. Really? And he turned in that day, and that was the day of salvation that was brought to his soul. The words that came forth from the pulpit were like sweetness to his soul. And to hear him describe it in an hour's time, going from, I'm ready to end my life because I can't, my sin is so high and so heinous that it cannot measure up. It can never measure up to the law of God. And in an hour's time, in the quickening of the Holy Spirit, the Lord showed him one thing. There's one whose perfect obedience did. And he walked out of there, and he said people must have thought he was crazy because he was kicking his heels. He was running for joy. He said he tried as hard as he could to think on his sin, but he couldn't. He couldn't because all he could see was the power of his Savior. Have you been there? Been delivered from that body of death? When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. And he never lost one. All that the Father gave him, he lost none, save the son of perdition. He had a purpose, didn't he? Let's go back to Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'll tell you who. But it might surprise you. It's the triune God. It's the Father that elected me. It's the Son whose blood covered my sin. It's the Spirit who tells me that I'm His and seals me until the day of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit who says, this is the blood that's covered your sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank Him for His perfect obedience to the law, that He wrought out a perfect righteousness and imputed it to a sinner such as I. I thank my Lord for a sanctification. A sanctification and a work in holiness. As I'm told, I have to be holy or I won't see the kingdom of God. That holiness is wrought in one that was perfectly holy. And it too was put on me as a gift. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the gift of repentance. Because for a long time I thought it was a doctrine. But it's not a doctrine. It's a gift. True repentance. To mourn. To mourn over your sin. To mourn because my Lord laid down His life. And you know, I use this analogy as bad as it is. I'm going to use it again. I used it this week in my Bible studies with my children. In mostly every state that in this nation today, a man could walk in this room and kill every one of us. And when he goes to trial, if he's found guilty, they'll put a needle in his arm and a pillow behind his head. And that's how he'll die. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who did nothing to deserve death, was scourged, was slapped and beaten with a reed, had a crown of thorns pushed down on his head till he started to bleed, was thrusted and mocked and saying, "Prophesy, who hit thee? Bear this cross and carry it to your death." Nailed to the cross, your hands and your feet. And then put up there with two robbers and thieves and murderers. And I thank Christ for that. In His condescension to come down to save a wretch like me. That's what my people did to Him. That's what all of us dead in Adam did to Him. And free will says you can raise right out of that line by your choice. Yeah. No, I thank Christ for the gift of grace from His Father. I thank the Holy Ghost for applying grace. Because see, now, after the perfect work of the triune God, and effectual, it came with power. It didn't come in word. It came in power. Now I can serve the law of God with joy, with thankfulness, with an awe and a respect and a humbleness. But still with me is that flesh who serves the law of sin. It's a battle. But we already know who won the war. Keep your eyes on that. That's what 8:1 tells us. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation. You've been delivered. But listen, hear me, those of you who went from point A to point C without coming through the cross in B, this isn't for you. For it's not God's way. If you're not a sinner, you haven't been shown that you're a sinner. All of the beauty of what I've described won't mean a thing to you. It may notionally mean something, but it'll never come to your whole soul. It'll never come and be lived out. To see the fruit of the Spirit then comes from that life, because He's working in you. fruit of love, the fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, the fruit of long-suffering, the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of meekness, the fruit of temperance, the fruit of love. So now there's no condemnation to those, to them, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Is that you today? Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and holy Lord, I thank you, Lord, for thy strength. I thank you for thy words. Lord, I pray they were a testimony to thee. I pray, Lord, that you are honored and your name is glorified and your name is exalted above every other name. For there's no other name given under the heavens that we may be saved by. O Lord, show us today thy Son in his kingly office, his priestly office, his prophet office. O Lord, may it rush to our souls. Lord, I pray that this burden of sin, this true burden of sin to thy people today would be lifted. To see the worthiness of the Son. To see the Lamb without spot. Lord, may you commune with us. For Lord, we know there is no communion without union to thee. Draw us to thee, Lord, and we will come. Bid us to come, and we will come in thy strength and in the day of thy power. Be with thy servant as he comes forward. Anoint his lips and prepare this flock for an ordinance of love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.